Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into an Under Center podcast special. I'm JJ Stankovitz for NBC Sports Chicago. We're only 3 weeks away from the Bears being on the clock with their first pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, which comes in the third round. So I want to welcome to the podcast Eric Edholm, who's been all over every nook and cranny of the NFL draft for years and is now an NFL draft analyst for Yahoo. You can read all of his tremendous work on Yahoo Sports and follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. It's always fun to welcome a fellow Missouri Tiger to the Under Center podcast. So, Eric, thanks for taking the time today.
Well, it's always fun to join a podcast where I have such a lovely introduction. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it, JJ. What's going on, man? You ready for this draft?
I'm ready for this draft in that I've only researched running backs. That's not totally
and
true.
Kickers.
For the most part, only running backs. So let's start there. The general feeling around the Bears is that after trading Jordan Howard, they're pretty likely to take a running back with a third, fourth, maybe fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Even if Ryan Pace is insisting, the team is focusing on best player available. So just kind of a general question, Eric, how deep is this class of running backs, and how could that affect who's available when the Bears go on the clock with pick number 87?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird year, in my opinion. I'd love to hear what you think about it as well, given how much time you've spent on it. But, you know, there don't seem to be as many high-end prospects as we've had in recent years. We've had some, you know, top 10 picks like a Leonard Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, others who've gone that high in the draft in an era when supposedly running backs are devalued. There just isn't that guy. Josh Jacobs might be a first-round pick out of Alabama, probably won't last too long after that if he's not. But in my opinion, there's a drop-off at that point, or at least in terms of league value. You know, I could see a handful going in the second round, one or two. Miles Sanders seems to be a hot name, maybe David Montgomery, but again, it's more like the strength of this class relative to the draft might be kind of right around where the Bears are picking, or maybe a little higher in early to mid-third round. But still, I don't think we're going to see a run at that position, you know, until maybe the 15 or 20 picks before Chicago's on the board.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I've been getting in looking into this, is that Jacobs from Alabama is kind of your number one guy, but he's not carrying the mantle of a Christian McCaffrey or Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley. He's kind of a mid-20s maybe pick. But teams that draft best player available, then that will help the Bears have a lot of these guys around if the grades aren't, you know, commensurate with a second-round pick. Running backs also, too, generally, in my experience, they usually fall a little bit further in a draft. So you can have a guy, you know, a team has a second-round grade in him, and they think they can get him in the third round. Is that maybe where you see something with David Montgomery or Miles Sanders, where just based on the positional value placed on these guys, they could maybe fall to where the Bears are?
Yeah, I could see that happening. And you know, I mean, obviously, you never know. I mean, there could always be a little bit of an early run at the position. You know, our teams may look at it and say, boy, I really like the top four or five guys. I hate the class after that. And if three or four teams share that opinion, all of a sudden you're looking there and it's slim pickings. Then, you know, Ryan Pace and company have to say, you know, we truly do have to look best player available, and maybe it's smarter to take one in round four, even if he's not quite as good a prospect, than it would be to take him in round three. But, you know, I mean, they've obviously been connected to a number of prospects and a number of running backs, and most of those guys you figure will go off the board somewhere between, you know, round three and round five, I would say. So, you know, they could look for a power type of back, like a Reichwell Armstead from Temple. They could look for more of that, what you would assume, you know, is more of a Nagy kind of a back, And look at somebody who can catch the ball a little better than they do, and maybe a Travion Williams or even a Dexter Williams from Notre Dame. I don't know. I mean, you know more about him than I do probably, but it is fascinating to see all the different combinations you can go, because at least the one thing about this class is there are a lot of different types of backs. You know, there's a wide range of talents in this group.
Devin Singletary is kind of an interesting name here. He's 5'7". He didn't test really well at the combine. I think he ran a 4.6, 6.40. Didn't have a lot of the quick area numbers that you want out of a running back. But the Bears seem to be pretty interested in him, at least from a scouting perspective. They brought him in for an official visit at Hallis Hall. Reportedly this week, they're working out with him at Florida Atlantic per NFL.com. What do you make of Devin Singletary? Is he a guy who could fit what the Bears may want out of their running back?
Yeah, he's a really interesting study. I mean, he's one that, like you said, it doesn't exactly, you know, he and probably Daryl Henderson out of Memphis are the ones that I've had to kind of go back and spend the most time kind of looking at the most. And, you know, obviously the Bears aren't scared of short running backs. We've seen them, you know, go that way with Tariq Cohen, but he's a different style of back than that. So I think he, you know, could fit somewhere on the spectrum between a Mike Davis and a Tariq Cohen, where, you know, if one of them were to go down with an injury, the other one could step up rather seamlessly a little bit. So you're right. The testing numbers are a little bit on the concerning side. He's not an overly big guy. He's about 205 pounds. But the tackle breaking is really what stands out. You know, the yards after contact. I mean, I know that's a little bit of what Davis does as well. He might be a little quicker there. I haven't loved what I've seen him in terms of pass protection. That's maybe an area that Jordan Howard would have an edge over him. Short arms, small hands, you know, he just doesn't have that build that you would necessarily trust him. And yet the reason we're talking about him as like a third, fourth round pick is because he's small and he lacks that great testing speed. You know, he ran a mid 4.6s at the combine. His shuttle drills, like you said, weren't that great. You know, it's just the size and the speed are really going to be what holds him back. However, I think, you know, the vision, the patience, the ability to work his way through contact is going to land him somewhere in the NFL on some level. So if you have him in a situation like Chicago where he's not asked to carry the ball 15 to 20 times every game and it's more of a, you know, a chess piece, it makes some sense. Absolutely. I would see what else is out there at 87 just to make sure I'm not bypassing another player at another position. But I can understand if they end up taking him there, why they would take him there.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
Kind of looking at, you know, if we're kind of shooting for the moon on this almost, to get back to David Montgomery and Miles Sanders, if either of those guys were available at number 87, how do you see, you know, their potential fit within the Bears offense? And would those guys be sort of that like slam dunk of like, this guy's on the board, go get him type of a guy?
Yeah, that's a good question. And obviously not having a lot of other picks in the draft, it's not like, you know, if he was there at 81 or whatever, you know, do you have enough to go get him? You're missing picks this year. You're missing picks next year. Showing patience is going to be very tough for Ryan Pace. So this is going to be a fascinating study to see what happens if one of those guys happens to slip. It happens every year, so it's not like it couldn't happen. Of the two of them, that's a great question. Let me think about – Sanders fascinates me. I had Montgomery as the higher-rated player overall, and I try to rate these guys with league appeal, like appeal to 32 teams, right? And
right.
Not every player is going to fit on every team, or you're going to be a perfect fit on every team, so – There's a sliding scale, right? For the Bears, one running back may be higher rated than another. Sanders might be that guy. And it's funny, when you squint and you watch the tape, you see a little of a Saquon-like running style. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not that big. But, you know, maybe watching him for 2 years do what Barkley did, obviously he's going to lend to some of that and the style of run game they have and everything. But I could see him being an outstanding fit in their offense. I really could. If he can just be one of those one cut and go guys, I think he tries to make too many moves sometimes, be a little too cutesy. Like that Illinois game was just perfect Miles Sanders football where he was just carving them up, and you thought, wow, this guy could be a 1,200-yard rusher in the NFL. This guy is really good. There are other tapes where you get a little more frustrated, but still, low mileage, can do a little bit of everything. I think he's a better receiver than he showed there. I mean, Montgomery's a fun football player. He's going to be great in the community wherever he goes. He's a leader. You know, he's got all the intangibles you want. But if I was picking splitting hairs for the Bears, I think I might say Sanders would be just a little higher.
Kind of on the other flip side of this, is there sort of an under-the-radar guy who isn't, you know, the Miles Sanders, the David Montgomery, a guy who's been getting attention like Devin Singletary or Mike Weber from the Bears? Is there one of those under-the-radar guys who maybe isn't getting a lot of attention in this process, but someone who you think could actually be a pretty decent fit if the Bears are maybe picking a running back in the fifth round or even as late as the seventh round?
Yeah, I love James Williams out of Washington State, and I'm a little bit stunned that he hasn't gotten more attention. And, you know, how they used him was really as a receiving back, and he's kind of got that James White, you know, from the Patriots, that kind of a makeup. You know, he's not a big guy. You're never going to really ask him to be, you know, running the ball between the tackles and all that. He's really kind of going to have that third down role with the ability to take the workload for a game or two if you need him to, that sort of thing. But he's just so fun to watch. He had one of the best touchdowns of the year in college football against Oregon. He broke about seven tackles. He's got natural hands. You can line him up as a slot receiver and be fine with him there. I bet he would be really good at it. You know, but he's just one that has kind of gotten a little lost in the shuffle a little bit. I had him as my number 100 overall player. And I had people complaining about that. They're like, no, he's too high. He's not that good. He's small. He's this. I just think he's got a natural receiving ability that very few backs in this class do. So that obviously makes you think, okay, he could fit with the Bears. He's flexible enough, you know, that he could fill a few roles. So he's the one that comes to mind. I mean, if they're looking a little later than that, maybe like Travis Homer out of Miami. He's almost like, you know, he's not fast, but he's shifty. He's a great special teamer, which I know they're obviously going to be keen on. I mean, he played every unit. You know, he's one of those sort of emotional leader types too, like, you need me to carry the team on the back, I will. You need me to carry the ball one time and throw blocks all game, I'll do that too. I love that about him. So I know that name hasn't been connected, but Ryquell Armstead, I know that Nagy and Pace have taken a close look at him up close, and I didn't initially see the fit, but Armstead is somebody who could be a good sort of power complement to what those other two backs provide right now.
Good stuff on all those guys. To kind of switch the focus off of running back, even though we're 12 minutes into the podcast and that's all we've talked about. Welcome to the Bears draft in 2019.
Yeah.
Where else in this draft is there positional depth? So by that, I mean, what positions could, because there is so much depth, could yield a quality starter or depth piece in the middle rounds of the draft? I remember a couple years ago, the thought was you could get a starting cornerback in the third round, for instance. Is there a position like that this year?
In my opinion, it's definitely not corner or safety this year. Safety, you might be able to get some decent players in that third round range, but you know, corner seems to fall off pretty fast. In my opinion, I have to the top six or seven. I don't really love any of them. Excuse me. Offensive line looks pretty good to me. The more I look at it, the more I see some versatility, some tackles who could play guard, some guards who could play center. You know, I mean, there's, you know, some guys who are just one position guys who are pretty good too. I think that's, you know, and that's obviously an area the Bears could use some depth, I think. So offensive line looks pretty good. Tight end to me is fascinating. I don't know how much time you spent on this position, but despite the fact that there's a lot of like 1 and 2 year guys, a lot of projection guys, some guesswork involved, the athleticism, the upside, you know, the enticement factor just hasn't been there at that position like it is this year in recent years. I can't remember the last tight end class where I thought, I bet you there are 4 or 5 of these guys that end up panning out. Because in most classes, after you get off the top 1 or 2, okay, maybe there's a late round guy, but that's a position that it seems like either first round or undrafted free agents are the ones who do well. I don't know what it is about that spot, but this year I think is different. And I could see the Bears, you know, that poking around that position and again looking around a little bit and finding some like a Josh Oliver from San Jose State, or you know, I'm trying to think of some other guy. I mean, if they want a blocker type, Drew Sample from Washington, Dawson Knox from Ole Miss, I really like. He doesn't have a lot of football in his background. I mean, he's not, I mean, doesn't have a lot of tight end in his background, but, you know, Kahale Waring from San Diego State. There's just a ton of guys in that, like, day two, early day three range who Jay Sternberger from A&M. I think some of these guys are going to really look good.
And, hey, at the top of that, we may see both Hockenson and Fant in the NFC North if the Lions
right.
and Packers take both those guys.
I know. Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Like, I think Minnesota's going to draft a tight end, too, because, you know, I mean, you know, Rudolph is fine, but I think they can get out from under his deal pretty nicely next year, and you might want to look for his replacement, too. So this NFC North could be a tight end haven pretty soon, I guess.
Last one here, because, again, this is a Bears podcast, so we have to ask about kickers. Anyone of the main kickers, obviously the three guys who are invited to the combine, or just anyone beyond that, anyone who you think could be worth a draft pick this year? I know kickers, the track record of them as draft picks is really not great in a lot of instances.
Right.
Or sometimes you have a Jake Elliott who's drafted by one team, gets cut, winds up with another team. Same with Harrison Butker. But is there anyone out there who you think could be worth one of the Bears' 2 7th-round picks?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where I would imagine it happens, if it happens at all. And you know, Cole Tracy from LSU, you know, he had some struggles at the Senior Bowl and he had some struggles with the Combine. He had such an incredible year with LSU. If you don't know his story, go look it up. He was at Assumption College in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Brian Kelly's alma mater.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. And it, you know, to keep... Assumption does not produce football players. Let me make that clear. But this is low-level football. He goes to LSU, has a brilliant season, makes a game winner against Auburn, you know, and under pressure. I poked around a little bit because I said, what happened at the Senior Bowl? What happened at the Combine? And I guess he's just such a creature of habit and repetition. And he kind of got thrown off his game, new holder, new kicker, different environment. Does that scare you a little bit? Yes, but he's clearly got leg talent. And he kicked off at his pro day, looked good at that. He didn't do it at LSU. He's a name you have to keep in mind. Does he give you a little bit of a Cody Parkey-ish vibe when you kind of talk to him and stuff? Sure, he does. I'm not going to lie. I hate to say it, but that's what he...
I could hear you cringing.
Yeah, I was kind of holding my breath as I said it. Yeah, I mean, I talked to him in Mobile, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm talking to Cody Parkey's little brother or something. You know? I know those picks aren't made with that in mind, but obviously it's so raw in Bears fans' minds that I just feel like that may not be the guy. But Austin Seibert from Oklahoma, man, mm-hmm. that kid's got a leg. I mean, I don't scout kickers that well, and I'm not a kicking guy or whatever, but he's impressive. He's got a little bigger build, too. He just seems like a little bit more of an athlete. But that's one to keep an eye on. I don't know what the Bears' level of interest is in him, but he might be the one that ends up having a pretty steady career and made the longest of any of these guys.
As long as Cole Tracy doesn't go on the Today Show, I think Bears fans would be okay with him.
I would say that would be a bad career move. That's right.
Yeah. Eric, thank you so much for your time on this. Before we go, just remind the people where they can find you online, where they can read you.
Yeah, it's at Yahoo Sports, and go to the NFL page, and we've got our series of countdowns with the prospects. I know Bears fans will have to dig a little bit because they're not picking until the 80s, but yeah, we got that in Eric_Ed Holm on Twitter.
Eric, thanks so much for your time, and I'll see you up at House Hall soon, I bet.
I will indeed. All right, JJ, see you, man.